Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope you guys are having an absolutely fantastic day today, and hope you guys are staying strong and healthy as always. And if you need anything, you know where to get a hold of us, healthmasters.com. Got a lot of interesting articles today we're going to be bringing up on the show. If you guys need anything, be sure to check out the website with the Testo Plus formula. Told you guys yesterday, one of the best testosterone boosting stacks on the market, guaranteed 90-day money back. Give it a try. You'll like it. Men and women can take it. Loaded with different nutrients that really help out, boost natural testosterone, help out with physical and strength, endurance, and so forth. So be sure to check it out on sale right now for over 10% off. And, you know, I was reading earlier here, and this is interesting. This is a big, big story that's coming out now that hardly anybody's talking about, is now that Pfizer has finally released the myocarditis study for children who received the COVID-19 vaccine. You guys remember, a lot of this stuff was suppressed. They didn't release all of it. They left certain parts of it out. Well, Pfizer and its partner have finally released the final results of the clinical trials exploring whether the COVID-19 injection causes heart inflammation in children. The company found that multiple vaccine recipients suffered heart-related symptoms, but said none met the definition of myocarditis. You remember when they came out with this? Researchers with the company's other institutions analyzed the levels of troponin and the signs of possible heart damage in children aged 5 to 30 before and after the vaccine. They also monitored participants for heart-related symptoms, including chest pain, and essentially 10 vaccinated individuals, including 6 under the age of 12, reported relevant symptoms. Researchers said none had myocarditis after additional testing. Among the younger children, half the participants with symptoms underwent troponin evaluations, and 4 had electrocardiograms. All results were normal according to the research. However, 1 of the 6 had cardiac MRI performed, and the MRI came back with abnormal results. This is interesting, though, because what they're saying is here is these kids, a lot of them, had heart problems and started having health conditions after the shot, but yet every single time it popped up, Pfizer dismissed it and said, no, it's nothing to do with heart inflammation. It's unrelated. This is something that's pre-existing condition. Nothing to see here. Don't ask questions. Rubber stamp this shot. Start giving it to 6-month-olds. This, again, is something that's so beyond bizarre to me that we're actually even at a point in time in history where we have an experimental RNA shot that's gene therapy that was developed by DARPA in 2012 is actually being rolled out to infants, 6-month-old infants, and they have essentially zero significant risk to COVID. We've seen the research. We've seen the numbers. We've seen the alleged death rates, and we've seen that it's 99.9997% survivability rate with young children. Yet you're putting a shot out there on the market that's unbelievably risky, that's been known to cause heart inflammation. And, of course, Pfizer's trying to double down and saying all the heart inflammation that occurred in the study, none of it's relevant. It was all pre-existing conditions. You know, normally 5- and 6-year-olds, you know, it's normal for them to have heart problems at 5 and 6 years old. So the shot had nothing to do with it whatsoever. Surprise, surprise, Pfizer lies again. Why would we expect anything less than that as far as from these guys?
You know, Austin, that's why they wanted it on the shot schedule.
That's exactly why they wanted
it. They had to get it on the school shot schedule. They had to force the American population to inject yet another vaccine into their children to basically sterilize them is what this is going to be doing. And we know it attacks the testicles. We know it attacks the ovaries. We know that the more you get, the less sperm production that you have from other studies that we've seen. We know it massively increases the risks of myocarditis and pericarditis and all the different things that we've seen in these other studies. And now they're saying that all of these children just happen to have pre-existing conditions of heart conditions at the age of 3, 4, 5, 6 years of age. It's insanity. And we're supposed to believe this stuff.
They want us to.
But it's like we talked about the other day. The lies they spew through the mainstream media are unprecedented. Because you got to look who owns the mainstream media, who controls it. Look what just happened in Alaska with Planet Fitness. Lady goes into the locker room. There's a dude standing by the mirror shaving in the locker room with a little 12-year-old girl, approximately 12 years of age, sitting in the corner wrapped up in a towel. This dude is shaving. And the lady flips out, and she takes a picture of the dude and says, what are you doing in here? And he goes, I'm LGBTQ, whatever I am. And I choose to be here this morning, blah, blah, blah. She said, dude, you have a penis.
Yeah, you're a male.
That's what she said. You're a dude. What are you doing in here? And he got all offended. Well, then she basically broke this on social media, went out and basically went viral. Now it's really viral. And now basically they have terminated her membership at Planet Fitness, saying that, hey, you know, this is not okay.
And apologize to him.
The guy who has the, you know, whatever between his legs gets to stay in here with the little girls. And she said, congratulations. And they terminated her membership. And she said, well, thanks for making that happen, because at least now I have to go back to the store, you know, develop back to Planet Fitness and terminate myself. And of course, if you look at who owns Planet Fitness, here it gets ready. Here we go, Austin. Here we go.
So just out of curiosity, wanted to see the top shareholders, top institutional shareholders of Planet Fitness. And drum roll, please. BlackRock, number one shareholder, 14% shareholder. And who'd be number two on the list? Who would possibly – who could it be?
I bet you it's State Street.
Oh, no. You were wrong. It's Vanguard.
Okay. Where's State Street? Is State Street falling there
State
anywhere?
State Street is down at the bottom there below Dorsal Capital and Bank of New York and J.P. Morgan Chase. Wow. Now, what's crazy about this is BlackRock and Vanguard – BlackRock owns 14% and Vanguard owns 9.5%. That means just with BlackRock and Vanguard alone, these guys are pushing almost 23%.
What percent does State Street own?
State Street's a smaller amount. They're more at the bottom. They're only 3%.
Well, that kicks them over a quarter, 25%.
That's true.
That means they probably can control the board.
Everything.
And so, yeah, so there you go. So if you guys are a member of Planet Fitness, let's do another Bud Light.
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah, no, for real, though. Planet Fitness has already been a little... Yeah. And now the fact that they're doing this, there's a girl in there, doesn't know what to do. There's a guy in there shaving. And the fact that they went out of their way to cancel her membership,
It's policy, Planet Fitness policy. If you look at they say that any gender can go in any bathroom depending on how they identify themselves. So if that's who you want to support, then support them. If you don't want to support that, start working out at home.
Yeah, or find a small local gym that you can support that's basically a smaller gym.
Yeah, and you know, it's frustrating too, because these guys set up these multi-million-dollar facilities. They charge next to nothing to work out at them.
Yeah.
You know, and they get massive cash flow. They rotate equipment. A lot of these guys do that. And so they make it very difficult to have a home gym because you can't compete with what they do at the bigger places. But then you got to think about it. If you really want to be working out in a place that has body fluid.
From these individuals.
From these individuals on the benches. So, I mean, what kind of skin or infectious skin diseases do people have in gyms that go in there and basically sweat everywhere? And, you know, and then here's an interesting component of this. Years ago, I was on a ship. I forgot which one it was. It was up around Norway, I guess, somewhere. We're doing a north whatever cruise. And I remember there was a guy in there, and he was working out every day on cardio until he was soaking wet. He's probably in his mid-20s. And he had a sweatsuit on, but he was sweat through the sweatsuit. And then lay on the benches and leave like a snail slime trail wherever he went. And I thought to myself, that's nice. And he didn't clean it up. And so finally, after about the third day, I looked at the dude and I said, what's wrong with you? He goes, what do you mean? I said, why do you do this? Why aren't you just changing clothes? If you get that wet, that sweaty from doing cardio, why don't you put on another sweatsuit? I said, so you don't leave this trail everywhere you go. He goes, are you telling me I can't work out? I said, I never said that. I said, just clean up after yourself. Nobody wants to lay in your perspiration. Infectious skin diseases can be transmitted from sweat. Urine is sterile. He would be more efficient as far as not infecting other people if he urinated on the benches. And I told him that. And I really did. I told him that.
It's not recommended.
But I'm not recommending my urinates on benches. But that's cleaner than sweating. Years ago, I put a gym here in the house because I got tired of laying in other people's body fluids, and I got really tired of listening to satanic music and all the horrible rap music they were playing in the gym.
I hate waiting for equipment.
If you're supersetting, which is the absolute.
People want to jump in.
In other words, you do, like, you have like three lap machines, then you rotate them. The first lap machine, the second lap machine, the third lap machine with no rest. That's the quickest and most easiest way to get really big and really strong, really fast, keep your body fat down, because you get cardio in addition to working out. But that's another show. By the way, Biden has now forgiven. Supreme Court, he said he couldn't do it. I don't know how he's doing it. Biden forgives another $5.8 billion in student debt for nearly 78,000 borrowers, primarily government workers, whose loans have been wiped clean. And the president takes relief total to $143 billion, though the Supreme Court said he couldn't do it. I have no idea where he's getting the money from for this. It's just odd.
Yes, has Congress approved this?
I don't know what's going on with all this stuff.
It's very strange.
You know, especially with the Supreme Court saying he can't do all of this stuff. Prior to Biden taking office, only about 7,000 public service workers with outstanding student debt received relief under the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. But since maybe because they're government workers, but since making loan forgiveness a cornerstone of his agenda, 870,000 public service workers have had their student debt canceled. And I've got a friend of mine, you do too, who lives up in Tallahassee, who has some student loan, who works, you know, as an attorney,
yeah,
as you know, as a court-appointed attorney. And so hopefully he'll have his student loan forgiven.
That may be the way they're doing it, because it's state workers or federal workers. They have ability to basically write off some of this debt. They may, that maybe what they're doing with it. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. By the way, this one got me pretty good this morning. Not as good as the Planet Fitness one, but this guy's got a real attitude problem. I mean, this boy is somebody needs to slap this boy upside the head. To be honest with you. Shocking moment. I should have said that. I know, but it just is true. Shocking moment. A TikToker tells illegal immigrants on how to invade Americans' homes and invoke squatters' rights as a protective video is viewed almost 4 million times. TikTok influencer is advising illegal immigrants on how to invade American homes and making it difficult to be removed from properties. I'm not going to mention his name. I'm not going to mention any of this stuff. Who appears to be a Venezuelan migrant has told undocumented. Remember what our Venezuelan friend said? These guys are coming over here. A lot of these guys are mercenaries. He has told undocumented migrants that under U.S. law, if a house is not inhabited, we can seize it. He's referring to squatter's rights or adverse possession laws, a common law principle that allows an illegal inhabitant to acquire ownership of a property based on continuous occupation without the legal owner's consent. This, he's alleging he has friends who have already taken about 7 homes, argued the only way for migrants to not live on the streets would be a public burden is to seize and invade abandoned properties. Wait a minute, if the house is for sale, it's not abandoned, it's for sale. The now viral video, which has been viewed 4 million times, has prompted outrage from many social media influencers and users. Some have claimed that he is promoting terrorism. It's pretty close. And are now calling the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security to action. Squatter rights laws exist in all 50 states and have sparked a crisis. I mean, we've talked about this multiple times across the nation. Serial squatters are overtaking homes and helpless families booted out of their houses by crooks or desperately turning to vigilantes to reclaim their homes. Yeah, how about that? Yeah, I think we need to bring in more illegal migrants. I think we need to open the borders. Oh, that's right. We already did. We're bringing in millions a year now. We need to bump it up to about 50 million a year. Just let it just overwhelm. It's like that one movie with Brad Pitt. Remember that? It was a horrible movie. I'm not recommending it. Remember when all the zombies attacked everything?
Oh, yeah. World War Z.
World War Z. Remember how the zombies attacked the wall and started climbing on top of each other to get over the wall?
Gosh, yes, I do.
I think we need to allow that to happen. So they can attack the wall, climb over each other to get into the United States, and swarm through the whole country. Then, and probably only then, Austin, the people in America will realize this was probably not a good idea.
Yeah.
And a lot of us already know that, but the liberals want everybody to have a house. Yeah, you know what's funny to me? I'm gonna tell you a story. I know this woman, and she was married to this German guy, and she's a hardcore liberal from Colombia. I mean, she's hardcore communist, and she told us that basically we have no right to have battlefield monuments in Gettysburg. We have no rights to have these statues showing the dead that died. That they shouldn't be in this country. If anything, they can be in museums, but they should not have a battlefield memorial for Gettysburg or any battlefield memorials anywhere in the United States. She told me that because she's a hardcore communist. And then she said that people need to basically give all of their income to the poor and give everything away they own to the poor. But this woman is one of the most greedy people I've ever met in my entire life. She's never given away anything in her entire life. But it's always somebody else's money with these guys.
Yep.
Okay. I see this with the liberals in Hollywood. Somebody comes in there, have a $400 million net worth. We need to have everybody get more money and more illegals come into the country. And I'm like, well, why don't you give your $400 million away? Or we have a person like Oprah Winfrey, who's a billionaire. Well, she gives away, $100,000. Everybody makes a big deal about it. She's worth billions. Okay, these are pennies she's dropping off here and there. She doesn't mean anything to her. But, it always bothers me. Why do they think, Austin, and this is not a rhetorical question. This is a question that we can ponder on for a moment. Why do they think it's okay to be unbelievably greedy with their own assets, but they want to take your stuff, my stuff, and by the way, your stuff, and give it away? I don't understand any of this stuff. What kind of twisted mindset is this? I mean, who dropped these people on their head? I mean, how'd this happen?
Well, that's the kind of concept with Marxism, though, and the communist indoctrination, because, I mean, that communism, that kind of is the whole aspect of it, is everybody needs to have this shared wealth. But you always notice the people at the top of communism
never share their wealth.
Yeah. And so, again, it's more of the control factor. And then you're dealing with individuals that they want to control everything around them. So they want to maintain their assets. They want to maintain their net worth. But they want everybody else to essentially be poor. Because, you got people that don't have anything and they're relying on the all-powerful state for money. They'll do pretty much anything they're told. We've seen that now. The whole welfare system has exploded and shown us that.
And you saw it in Russia with the communist revolution. these people who were the heads of the parties, they took over the people's mansions who were heads of the party. They were living, you know, in opulence, and see, it's a strange thing to me because that's what cultural Marxism does.
Exactly.
It comes in and it teaches you that it's okay to take other people's stuff, but you get to keep your stuff if you're at the high level.
Yep.
Because that allows the leaders to maintain their position of power to allow them to force this on everybody except themselves. And it's mind-boggling. If they didn't capitulate back in the 20s and early in the teens in Russia, they would be killed. 50 million to 100 million dead. 40,000 priests were killed, Orthodox priests, Russian Orthodox priests were killed. A lot of them were burned in their churches with their parishioners inside with the doors bolted shut, locked and nailed shut. And all this stuff happened during the Russian Revolution because the state, which was communism, was trying to force this on the people in Russia, and they didn't want it.
Yeah.
And then the same thing happened in 1933, and that's why we talk about the Frankfurt School so much. They came over here to us in 1933 to Columbia University, and they started the same procedure in all of the Ivy League schools and started indoctrinating the professors first. I'm going to say something to you about this real quick. I'm going to tick a few people off on this one, but I don't care anymore. If I cared about that, I wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't be talking about the stuff we talk about anyhow. But the thing about it is, here's the deal. I was a college professor for a couple of years. And I was shocked by the liberal mindset of the college professors. And I'm talking a long time ago. And it was amazing to me. And what happens is I called it the Ivy Tower Complex. These professors get into a position of power and authority in these schools, and it's like a little microcosm of reality. It's not real. The reality of being in school is not real. I loved being in college. I remember I finished my first degree, and then I finished my second degree, and then I finished my third degree, and then I finished my fourth degree, and Dad was paying, and by the grace of God, I had a phenomenal father. Finally, by the end of the fourth degree, I started thinking, I'm really enjoying this stuff. And then Dad told me, by the way, I'm out. He goes, what do you mean you're out? He goes, I'm done. I'm not paying for anywhere else. You've got enough degrees. And I said, whoa, what do you mean? I have to work? I mean, really? And then I became a college professor because I had some of these guys that were doing the same thing. They were like going right from being a being in college to being a professor. And so I decided to do that for a couple of years. But then I started to see the internal components of what was happening in the socialistic compound of this. And I started realizing that's not what I wanted. And by that time, I was 25 years old, and I was up to bat. I had my chance at life, and I thought, I'm going to take a swing at this thing. And so I left. After 2 years, I left doing that. But it was funny to me because I remember I learned something. If a student got an F, you couldn't give them an F. Or they got fussy with you. If a student did something wrong and you brought it to the administration to bring it to the attention, they wouldn't back you on it. I learned all that too. And then I learned that if you said too much about too many things, that they can send you to the Federal Correctional Institute in Tallahassee and let you teach at the prison. Whoa, that happened to you? Yeah, it happened to me, actually. So I taught at the prison for like a year, and I thought to myself, I really don't want to be here with a bunch of felons. Though some of them were very nice, I must admit that. But the truth of the matter is when you see the Ivy League attitude and the college professor's attitude, they have an old adage that we used to joke about. Those who do, those who don't teach. They can't do it. They don't know how to do it. They can talk about it, and they can speculate about it, and they can write papers on it. But when it comes out to getting into the trenches and actually doing something from a capitalistic standpoint and starting a company, they really, in most cases, don't know what to do. They really don't. But they're given these huge salaries now by these major universities, especially depending on their degree pedigrees, where they went to school. And then they continue to teach these students stuff that is irrelevant because they're justifying their own existence. I remember I had kids come up and tell me years later, you were the only professor we actually learned stuff from. They actually nicknamed me the preacher teacher. I mean, surprise, surprise, right? But the thing about it is that it was kind of strange to me because I was trying to help these kids to teach them that a lot of the stuff that they're being taught wasn't real. I didn't know that a lot of these kids were so indoctrinated by that point. They would then complain that, Ted is not teaching us the right way because he told us that half that book doesn't mean anything. And we're paying to use this book. Well, if the book doesn't mean anything, I just tell them this part doesn't matter because it didn't matter. But that's the Ivy League professor stuff that started with the Frankfurt School that brought in cultural Marxism, which makes it okay for them to take your stuff and spread it around, but they don't want you to take their stuff.
Yep.
It's a weird – and so that's the problem when you send your students and your children to these schools. And it starts in elementary school. Then it goes to the middle school, with the lesbian indoctrination and the transgender indoctrination and the weird counselors they put in there. Then the kids get really, really confused, but they start to accept that, Austin, as the new normal. I have a transgender counselor. Oh, he's really nice, or she's really nice, or it's really nice. I don't know what it is, but I'm supposed to listen to it. Why would you listen to it? Why would you let the person who was shaving in the woman's bathroom in Alaska be a counselor in your elementary school children's classroom and tell them how to live their life. So this is going to be normal now. I'm going to tell you, I'm a woman, though I'm a guy, but this is normal, and I'm telling these kids this is okay. This is the indoctrination that is cultural Marxism. Feminism brought us Gloria Steinem. Remember what she said? A woman needs a man about as much as a fish needs a bicycle. That was her famous quote. Remember, you find out she was put in by the CIA, CIA asset. You start looking at all this stuff. You start realizing it was here internally to destroy the moral fabric of the United States and to destroy Christianity. That's what it was, to be blunt. That's what it was for, because they wanted their old world order back. They wanted to have open sacrifice in the streets, open crucifixions in the street, open satanic rituals in the street. That's right. They're putting all kinds of weird Baphomet statues everywhere now, and they're telling you we can't have a display of the Virgin Mary, but we can go ahead and have satanic displays everywhere, and it's okay. That's where it's going. So if you don't think it's heading that way, Jesus said himself, he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon my return. And this is what he's talking about, the open satanic everything. Wow. The good news is, if folks listen to us, gold prices have been hitting record highs.
Yeah, they have.
So there you go. What's your next
story? No, gold's been going up. Silver's been moving a little bit. There's definitely no question about it. I mean, the markets are doing weird stuff. The interest rate cuts may happen. So I guess they're talking about markets starting to boost up. I mean, when I saw the S&P hit 2,300 in overnight trading. Ironically, Planet Fitness is hitting a record low over the last week.
Way to go, Planet Fitness.
They were at $67 a share just like 2 weeks ago. They hit on Tuesday $55 a share. That's like $400 million in market capital.
The voice of the consumer.
Yeah, and that's the thing about it is I think some people, a lot of people, fail to realize how powerful voting with your dollar still is. I tell people that all the time, and the problem is so many people become so complacent with what they're used to doing, and they don't want to have anything that's inconvenient to them. They don't want to make any changes, any small incremental changes of cutting certain things out. So they just go along with certain things because they don't want to be inconvenienced, including supporting companies that openly hate them. And so it's crazy to me because I've said this so many times.
Imagine that.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, some of these companies blatantly tell you, we don't want your business. Starbucks CEO, 10 years ago, remember, came out and said, if you support the Second Amendment, if you want to carry a firearm, even legally, we ask you go somewhere else to buy coffee for somewhere else. We don't want your business. We do not want you coming here if you carry a firearm, period. You're not allowed, essentially, is what he said indirectly. Why in the world are you going to keep going to a company like that and keep giving them money when they're blatantly telling you they hate you? Just concept I don't think people understand completely. Same thing when it comes to certain movies, when it comes to certain food, you know, restaurants, when it comes to certain companies that are manufacturing things. Do your research. Look at like what Tyson's doing. I told you guys yesterday. Tyson and all its conglomerates, I won't buy anything from them. I haven't bought anything from them in years because that company, first off, a lot of stuff they produce is crap, just to be honest with you. Secondly, they're shutting down. I told you guys yesterday, they're shutting down the Iowa branch, laying off all the workers, and they're opening up a new one in New York, and they're coming. There's a whole list I saw yesterday. I don't have the article in front of me. They got a whole list of perks that they're offering now, undocumented migrants now, to incentivize them to come work there. The insurance policy, like all this, housing stipends, crazy stuff. Then you're sitting here and you got this guy from Venezuela on TikTok ranting about how everybody needs to go, you know, invade homes that are abandoned. Then you got essentially this aspect where Donald Trump came out now and he said migrant crime is a new category of crime in the United States. And he's actually 100% accurate about that. This is something that's not usually ever been brought up. It reminds me of the old incident that occurred in Australia. And I remember reading about this in the 90s when Australia came in and they essentially confiscated and banned all major firearms after there was a mass shooting. They went in, they like steamrolled them. They completely and totally scrapped these firearms. And I think you could still have like a over and under shotgun or revolver or something. If you got to have a permit, you got to have a license, all these restrictions to even own one, you got to keep it certain places. And that's Australia. What's interesting about it though, remember, they started talking about how incidences in Australia, like home invasions, weren't even a criminal term before that. It didn't happen. There was like zero crime in Australia before that. Yet after they seized all the firearms, there's been numerous places now in Sydney and other places where crime's gone rampant over there because that's what happens when you take all the firearms from law-abiding citizens and criminals know there's no issue with robbing anybody anymore because nobody's going to be able to defend themselves with deadly force. Just something to be aware of and always remember – never compromise on the Second Amendment, period. I've told you guys that repeatedly. Also, in other news, this is interesting. I don't know how they're going to enforce this, but I like it. Tennessee Senate passes bill to end chemtrails. This is going to be an interesting one here. The Tennessee Senate has made headlines by passing a bill that appears to target chemtrails, suggesting a move towards clean air. And this is the ironic part about me. I'm going to get in this article a little bit more in a second, but I was laughing with a buddy of mine the other day as we were discussing how the EPA has backtracked a little bit on their restrictions by 2032. They're saying now that instead of 67% of all vehicles by every manufacturer, 67% have to be EV. They're saying, well, you know, in order to maintain a healthy market capital, we're gonna drop it down to 56%. We're gonna be generous, you know, we're gonna be generous lords. We're gonna let everybody know that we're gonna give you guys a break, and it won't be 67, it's gonna be like, you know, 50-some%. What's crazy about this is in a free market, these agencies do not have any legal authority to do this. They don't have a legal authority to come in and start telling manufacturers how many certain vehicles they're allowed to produce. The EPA is so far rogue, it boggles my mind, and they allow stuff like dicamba and glyphosate to still be on the market to be used on a regular basis and sprayed in the air. They want to talk about putting bigger filters and bigger restrictions and more EPA emission controls on all these vehicles to make them so unreliable. It's insane. And yet nobody ever discusses what's going on with the chemtrails and the spraying in the air of the barium and the aluminum. Now, Tennessee Senate, though, has actually called this out. Tennessee conservative activist Robbie Starbuck shared this about the new law. He said, "Say the Tennessee State Senate passed a bill today that would ban the spraying of chemtrails for geoengineering in the sky. The bill would ban, and I quote, intentional injection, release, dispersion by any means of any chemical compound, substance, or apparatus within the borders of the state into the atmosphere with the express purpose of affecting temperature, weather, or the intensity of sunlight." 26 senators voted in favor, only 6 opposed. The rest of the bill is below. I'll post this on the website. You can look at it. And because this is actually, to my knowledge, this is the first state that's actually doing this. Now, the thing about this, Dad, is how is Tennessee going to be able to enforce and not allow? Because, I mean, you know, these are government contract planes that are spraying these chemtrails. How are they going to be able to enforce this from being able to spray over Tennessee? I mean, I guess at a certain height. I mean, how will they enforce this?
They can't.
Really?
No, the FFA and the federal government controls airspace, period, up to 60,000 feet. Now, you know, if they get over 60,000 feet, you know, using SR-71 Blackbird, which have all been grounded now, or some other weird spaceship they have, they could do it at 60,000 feet and whatever. But there's no control up here. I mean, the federal government controls all this.
Yeah.
And people don't understand, you know, there's all kinds of different categories of airspace over states that the federal government controls. I mean, that's what you're taught that, you know, when you're in pilot school. And you have to be very careful. I remember one time I was flying over in Tampa, and I was, you know, landing at Tampa, you know, Executive Airport. And I had one of my instructors with me, and I was in the maximum altitude that you could fly is 1,200 feet, period. Because you've got to go under the radar from Tampa International because you're within their airspace, which is all federally controlled. And I remember I was like at 1,295 feet, which is very easy to do in a powerful airplane. I was, you know, because it'll pull itself back up again. And suddenly he looked at me and goes, stop, you're 100 feet above where you're supposed to be. This is how controlled it is. He goes, if they catch us right now, because I have a transponder in the airplane, right, or had one, I don't have the plane anymore, which tells them who I am, what my tail number is, who owns the plane. It tells everything. You look you all up by your transponder, because they don't want you just flying in and out of airspace because you start having planes running into each other.
Okay? Yeah, and I get that.
And they also are very careful, like with Washington, D.C. airspace. They tell you, do not fly into Washington airspace, period.
What happens if you fly in Washington?
Oh, they will send fighters to take you down.
Really?
They will take you down with fighter planes. They won't shoot you. They'll force you down.
That's crazy.
But they warn you, you have to have permits to do all that, just getting closer there. So you have to land outside of the airspace. And then what they are, they're little circles. They go around the space. They tell you this altitude is controlled to the surface. This, you know, if that means from like all the way up, all the way down to the surface, then sometimes it's 12,000 feet to the surface. And then so you have to stay outside of the airspace. Federal government controls all of that. So to try to say, we're not going to allow planes to fly over our state.
Spray chemtrails.
Well, I like the fact that they said this. I think it's great.
And the fact that they're addressing it and calling it out.
Well, what it will do if it starts getting national attention. But you see, I guarantee you there won't be one single mainstream news outlet pick up this story. They won't.
No.
Because they've been told not to by the CIA, who controls the media. And so the crazy part about all of this stuff is if they're spraying at 40,000 feet, heck, when you're at 40,000 feet, you're flying over Central Florida. You see the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah,
and
I've been with you.
Yeah, you know, and you're, and you, so you can see everything. Because you, and what happens is if you got air, which you always have air that's moving around up there, it's going to blow the chemtrails over the state of Tennessee anyhow. So this is pretty much meaningless from a doing anything about it standpoint. But the good part that it does do, it makes people realize that people who say that they're doing geoengineering aren't making this stuff up, because Tennessee's now passing laws against it. There have been hundreds of patents issued for this on how to make the dispersal agent.
They have the description. You can look it up if you don't believe this. You can look it up, the geoengineering equipment and patents. There's hundreds of them, all the way down to the schematics of what they put on the planes. This is Senate Bill number 2691. I urge everybody to get this information out there with this bill. Like Dad said, I don't think they're going to be able to do anything with it as far as from a actual enforcement standpoint, because of all these regulations. However, when this stuff starts getting out there, this is how you wake people up. This is also how you elicit change, because when people talk about things and they start being involved in things, they start questioning things. And when you question stuff, you can actually change the narrative of what the lies are. Because when you have these groups, these media, that all they want to do is tell you lie after lie after lie after lie, they don't want you to question it. Because when you question it, that means you're questioning their authority. And they have no authority other than what we give them. That's the funny part, the concept that eludes a lot of people, is these individuals and these groups are based on a very shell aspect of authority only because we just voluntarily listen to them. It was like when they started telling everybody to wear masks. There was no authority with that. The CDC came in and said, we deem everybody has to wear a mask for COVID. Well, the CDC is not an enforcement agency. They're an alphabet agency that basically does research with diseases. They're not enforcement branch. That's not their job. So what they did was they tried to run it down the chain and just basically start having states and counties come in and start ordering mandates. Well, the problem is also, too, mandates aren't laws. And that was a very slippery slope that happened during COVID. And that's why I warned so many people about it, that the mask wasn't just about being obnoxious and belligerent and rebellious. It was about standing up and saying, listen, if I don't want to do something, I'm not going to do it. You don't have a right to start telling me what I have to do and I can't do and I have to wear and what I can't wear everywhere that I go. And that was the concept that they wanted people to absorb and be indoctrinated with, that essentially you didn't have a right to say no. You do what we tell you to do. You put a muzzle on. You shut up. You stay 6 feet apart. And you don't question anything that we're telling you. That's what it was all about. And so, again, this is a really cool bill. Glad to see this happening. And also, too, be sure, check out Instagram. I told you guys we've got a bunch of stuff we've been putting up there with different specials, sales, and products on the team_healthmasters. Go on there. Make sure you follow us, like, and write some comments and reviews on the products that you like, and we'll go send you a coupon code on there. We've been monitoring it a lot lately. So, again, thank you for getting that back up and rolling, as we're trying to build a community here of like-minded people, just like I referred to, where people can come together and talk and say, hey, listen, you hear what's going on in Tennessee? Yeah, I'm forwarding this. Well, all of a sudden, you get five people that forward it to five people that forward it to five people. All of a sudden, it starts growing exponentially, and people start talking about it.
Well, once you get people talking about it, it starts changing everything, because the government has to pay attention. But you're right, Austin, because human beings are funny, especially in a republic. You know, they like to put people into power in office and give them authority over them.
Right.
Okay. And so that way we can blame shift, and we can say, it wasn't I who did this. It wasn't me who did this. However, the correct grammar is, I have no idea. I have to think about that one. But I didn't do this. The Republican or the Democratic person that I put in office did.
Yeah.
We need to get them out of office. But then, because of the fact that it's almost impossible to get them out of office, because people don't pay attention to what they're doing, then what ends up happening is they basically continue to make these mistakes. Then the military-industrial complex takes away the authority from the legislators.
The legislators blame it on the military. Well, that's, it's right, not us. It's the DOD.
And it's the black operations that we have no control over, because basically these are black ops, and so we have no idea what's going on, because these are all closed hearings. We have no idea what they're voting on.
Okay?
And of course, the military-industrial complex, they give it over to the Sabbatean Luciferian complex.
The CIA.
That CIA, which then gives it over to the Satanists. And that's how they run this.
It reminds me, we talked about it the other day, the blame is that Blues Brothers.
Oh, it was a funny movie.
It was my fault. It was an earthquake. I had a flat tire. Somebody borrowed my car. It ran out of gas.
Until we take authority back for what they've done to us, it never ever gets fixed.
No.
The key is here, you fire the people in Washington, you put in term limits. The problem is they have to vote for their own term limits. They're not gonna do that.
And a factor of two, a requirement in a republic from the citizens is something that's a concept that a lot of people don't understand, is civil disobedience is actually very, very important in a republic. When you start having either laws or mandates or ridiculous things that are being thrusted upon a population, it's a government by the people for the people. It is the responsibility of the republic, of the citizens, to take a step back and say, we didn't vote on any of this. We elected you to put things into place. None of us want this here. We didn't vote for this. We didn't ask for this. We're not following this. This isn't something that we are okay with. We are going to now display civil disobedience. We've seen that now in a lot of areas, in a lot of places. For example, like Albuquerque, New Mexico, when you had the governor come in and say, by the way, we're having so many gang-related drive-by shootings with machine pistols, we're now banning everybody, including law-abiding citizens, from even carrying a firearm concealed or non-concealed. You can't carry a firearm now. It's illegal for you to carry a firearm.
To protect yourself.
To protect yourself. Because there's gangs running around with Glocks with switches on them, with full auto switches on these Glocks, and they're doing drive-bys and they're shooting people. So you, law-abiding citizen, can't carry firearms. What'd they do? Law-abiding citizens showed up to the Capitol next day, 300 of them, all armed, all loaded. Nobody had empty magwells, all standing around carrying an American flag, displaying their civil disobedience.
Second Amendment rights.
Law enforcement showed up, said, we're not involved in this. We're not getting involved in this. We're not arresting anybody. We're not doing anything. This is completely bizarre. The governor does not have the right to come in and unilaterally tell the American population in this state, you can't carry a firearm because gangs are carrying firearms now. That is a requirement of citizens in the republic. When you see things that are violating the laws and they're violating amendments, it is your responsibility to civil disobey certain orders and say, listen, this is not okay. This is illegal what you're doing. We're not going to go along with it. But I just want to address that because a lot of times people have this concept where, well, it's about breaking the law. No, it's not about breaking the law. It's civil disobedience on things that are violating the law already. And that was a perfect display of that in Albuquerque.
And the problem you have with that is when you get government agencies out of control, like on January the 6th.
Yes.
Okay, and they start using other laws to circumvent civil disobedience, and they start arresting people.
Civil war laws. That was crazy.
No, I mean, it's sedition.
Yes, sedition. Treasonous sedition. Golly.
Oh, by the way, 1 in 7 boys now under the age of 17 have been diagnosed with ADHD.
Yeah.
As doctors slam this high figure, and basically they're saying, well, this, you know, it's not our fault. We haven't done this. Yeah, 1 in 7 boys have now been put on detention, deficit hyperactive disorder in the U.S., and a shocking government report suggests as diagnoses surge up to triple those in European nations. That's because we have like 10 times more vaccines than European nations.
A CDC, we have some of the worst food in the entire world.
Oh, yeah. The red dyes, the blue dyes, the chemicals, all the rest, the hormones in the food supply, all of them. I mean, 1 in 7 kids. I mean, I'm sorry, boys under 7. 1 in 7 boys under 17 have been diagnosed with ADHD. Red dyes, blue dyes, omega-3 fats. I wrote a whole article on this. I think it's available for free on the website. Is it awesome or do we sell for that? I don't even know what it is.
The ADHD report?
Yeah, the ADHD report.
I think we have one on the website. I can pull it up.
But yeah, but just read that. I mean, and that's the thing that we need to realize. You know, it used to not be like this. But remember, anytime a child basically expresses themselves and they say, well, I don't think I want you to teach because you are a tranny. You have ADD. I don't have ADD. I think you're weird. You have weird pronouns. I don't want you to do this, and I don't want you to be here teaching me. Oh, you're disobedient little brat. We've got to drug you into a stupor to make sure you comply. Ritalin and Adderall are Schedule II drugs in the same category with morphine, opium, Percodan, and Demerol. They're highly addictive. Ritalin is one of the top 10 most slated for pharmaceutical theft in the world, and they're like cocaine.
So is Adderall.
It's multiple, amphetamine salts. And the problem is, in a developing brain, when you give them a stimulant, it calms it down. In a human, an adult brain, it makes them hyper. But in a developing brain, it calms them down, it makes them listen, it makes them compliant. This is why I'm not recommending this, but this is why, you know, coffee would be a better substitute if you have a child with ADD. You think, well, make them hyper. Actually, it calms them down because what it does, it basically allows them just to focus. The sad part about it is that we have 1 in 7 children now. In some classrooms, there's more children taking drugs, over 50%, than children not taking drugs legally from their prescription from their doctors. And then you dump a bunch of aluminum into them. You put a bunch of adjuvants into them. Then you start giving them shots that still contain mercury. All of these things start messing with the neural synaptic function of the brain and stops a lot of the developing process of the brain. And that's why you see the people that are on these ADD, ADHD medications, when they start doing drawings and other things, their drawings start to change. Everything starts to change because their brain doesn't process the information any longer the way it's supposed to process it. And then you end up with a whole group of zombies as they come out of school, and now they're addicted to stimulants. Just being real fair with you guys and honest with you guys right now. Now these kids are addicted to Adderall. Now they're out of school and they can't get their subscription anymore. I'm sorry, not subscription, prescription. So what ends up happening is They go to the street and start buying stuff off the street. I mean, college students use this stuff all the time. People grind this stuff up, and they snort it up their noses because they want to get high from it. I mean, this is some serious medication. I mean, if little Johnny's hyper today, well, we need to put him on a dose of morphine just to calm him down. What are you talking about, Ted? I would never put my child on morphine. It's category 2 compound. Oh, morphine's category 2. It is, yeah. So is Ritalin. So is Adderall. Super tightly regulated. That's why so much of it's sold on the street. Think about that for a second. Would you put little Johnny on morphine because he's hyper? Or would you put him on Ritalin, which is the same category as morphine? Or why don't you just change his diet?
I'm about to say cut out the food coloring and cut out the high fructose corn syrup.
Cut out the red dyes, the blue dyes, the food coloring, cut out the sodium nitrite, cut out the luncheon meats, cut all that junk out. You know, you put stuff into his body and into her body that's going to basically feed their brain and allow their brain to function properly, like omega-3 fats and all the rest of this stuff. Be very, very careful on the drug choices that you make for your children. Are you telling me I'm a bad parent? Don't say stuff like that to me. I hear what you're saying. You know you're not a bad parent. You're a great parent. If you weren't a great parent, you wouldn't be listening to the show. You'd already turn this off because I start talking about this. You love your kids. I know you do. But be very careful what you put into their bodies. I saw this morning. I thought,
especially with the food colors. I want to add on that. There's a research study that came out of Berkeley in 2021, and this is one of the reasons why I put together the back to school kit for the kids, which is the ultimate multiple chewable and the cod liver oil. Those two products right there, I've seen do unbelievably good positive outcomes with children, especially because it provides some of the proper nutrients, vitamins, and minerals, and the omega-3 fats in conjunction of staying away from certain foods and certain compounds like food coloring. This article, is a report released in April 2021 by the state of California through UC Berkeley, confirmed the long-suspected belief that consumption of synthetic food dyes can cause hyperactivity and neurobehavioral issues from children. The report also found that federal rules for safe amounts of consumption of synthetic food dyes did not reflect the most current research and is not protecting children's behavioral health. They said over the past 20 years, the percentage of American children and adolescents diagnosed with ADHD, as you just talked about, has increased from an estimated 6% to 10.2%. Concerns over ADHD and other behavioral disorders led the California Environmental Protection Agency to conduct a report, which based on 2 years of extensive evaluation on food dyes. The evidence shows, just what the report says, and I quote, evidence shows that synthetic food dyes are associated with adverse neurobehavioral outcomes in children. With increasing numbers of U.S. children diagnosed with behavioral disorders, the assessment can inform efforts to protect children from exposures that may exacerbate behavioral problems. Researchers found all the FDA's acceptable daily intake for synthetic food dyes are based on 70-year-old studies that were not designed to detect the types of behavioral effects that we see now currently in children today. Comparison with newer studies indicate that current food coloring and current acceptable daily intake levels do not adequately protect children from behavioral effects. This, again, is what you see so many times now, where some old research, 60, 70, 80 years old, that got ran through with little research whatsoever, is, hey, this is what we recommend. The daily allowance for D3, you take 400 IUs a day. That's an absolute joke. That's not even an effective amount anymore, especially with so many people living inside. That's why now they're saying it needs to be up to 2,000 IUs a day, which I still think that's low. I recommend 10,000 a day. That's what I take. My blood work shows perfect on it. Again, if it's something you're concerned about or your D3 starts getting too high on your blood work, you can cut back to 1/10,000 K2 every single day or every other day. And that's why it's so important to take it with K2, because it helps with the absorption of the D3. Those are crucial. You got to take K2 with the D3 when you're taking high doses. But this goes back to show you exactly what I've talked about. If you look at most foods now, especially children's food, 80 to 90% of the processed children's food on the market is loaded with food coloring. I mean, it's in everything, and you don't even realize it half the time until you actually start looking at the ingredient list, because you start to see, oh, this, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I remember one time I went to a place, and I got a chocolate milkshake. I'm not going to say the name of the place. I'm not even going to promote them. I've never had this shake again ever from this place. And I remember I got it, and it was okay. It gave me a headache, though. I know, and I always notice this is the funniest thing with me. If I eat and I consume Red 40, my throat will tighten up. The back of my throat gets tight. Like, I feel like almost like I'm getting sick. Every time I know I do it, it's the weirdest thing, but that's just how my body responds to Red 40. And I noticed I started drinking the shake. I started feeling that in the back of my throat. I'm like, man, I don't feel that good. The shake's not making me feel real good. I asked him, I said, can you bring me an ingredient list? And of course, I should have done this beforehand. I always do this now. And they gave me the ingredient list. Not only did it have high fructose corn syrup in it, it was a chocolate shake, and it had Red 40 in it. to make it, I guess, a brighter brown, because I, God forbid, you put more chocolate syrup in it to make it brown. You put Red 40 in it. And I remember I got my money back. I said, you take this. I'm not drinking this. I said, this is the most garbage milkshake I've ever read. Why is it difficult to put some milk with some ice cream, with some cookie dough, and mix it up in a blender, and now you got a milkshake? Why do you have to make it this synthetic? And it was shocking to me, because it's funny, because I remember, and I don't think they do this anymore. I know the quality's gone way down the hill. I've never eaten there in years because of quality. I used to work as a server at Steak and Shake when I was in college, a little side job here and there, because, you know, they're open 24 hours, but they were open 24 hours. So you could get crazy shifts if you wanted to get extra hours and work, make some money. And I remember the milkshakes back then were super cool. So I'd go in the back and make shakes a lot of times before I'd leave. And they have big tubs of ice cream, all these different ice creams. And you basically scoop out the ice cream you want, put the milk in it, put in these big stainless blenders. And you look, and even back then, I remember looking at the ingredient list on the ice cream, and it was all pretty clean. You know, cream, sugar, milk. This is back, you know, 15 years ago, longer than that, 56, 70 years ago, 20 years ago. Yeah, and so I remember, though, that was actual milkshakes from Steak and Shake. They actually had real, true milkshakes that were fantastic. That now all these companies get taken over by BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, and all they want to do is pinch pennies, so they come up with the most chemical-laden foods. Or is it to save money? Or is it because they know what these compounds do and people consume them in high amounts over time, kind of like we see here from the University of Berkeley saying that they know from the research here that synthetic food colorants cause severe behavioral problems in children, and yet stuff's still on the market. There's no warning labels. Nobody addresses it, and nobody talks about this.
Well, you think about it for a second. If you have the major corporations promoting this type of food, the major corporations are also owned by the same people who own the major pharmaceutical corporations that produce the Ritalin and the Adderall.
There's
and,
my segue.
And, well, no, it's what they do.
It's revolving door through all the companies.
By the way, you know, we've been very careful with you guys as far as bringing guests on the show. And there's a lady out of Canada, and I'm not going to mention her name, but she apparently she came after a bunch of other alt media people. I'm not going to get involved with the name calling and bring out her name. But you know, it's been making major news in alt media. And apparently this lady has an army of online trolls, sock puppet accounts, and bots that started bombarding all the people that she targeted with accusations and intimidations, telling them they need to stop supporting a certain company and basically cut out all their affiliate programs they have. Now, I don't know where she comes off coming out and saying that she has this kind of authority, but it's crazy. Then you find out that, you know, there's accounts all over the place and that they have like 57 followers that immediately reply and are constantly applying and protecting her. This sounds like a CIA cover-up to me. Now, I'm not mentioning her name because I'm making some pretty strong statements here, but it's interesting to that. And you find out her husband works for a defense contractor who specializes in different disinformation, and on and on and on and on. So the reason I bring this up is not to hammer her personally, because I'm not going to get involved in that. I try never to do that unless I have to on the show. But the reality is this. Be very careful who you listen to with alt media.
Yes.
If suddenly they're getting 10 million views on every video they post, they have search engines directed to them. They're being promoted to be able to get that type of foot coverage. And they don't get blocked anywhere. They keep going and going. They're not blocked on YouTube. They can do whatever they want to do, say whatever they want to say, and nobody ever blocks them. And it goes back to the same propaganda policy that they have, you know, here in the United States that we learned with World War II in Germany. If we give intel to the Germans that basically this is during World War II, that's 90% correct and 10% lies, they believe all of it because they think, well, 90% of this is true. This all has to be true. They did that with intel to try to make the Germans think they had troop movements. They had the Germans so confused about the D-Day invasion. They didn't know if it was coming through Italy or going through Normandy. They had no idea, or through Norway, because they were always putting out disinformation. All of this stuff is what the CIA, it was the OSS back then, has learned and has basically worked together to develop a very specific strategy on putting out disinformation. They'll give you 80-90% true facts, true facts, true facts, and it makes it sound like they are a patriot, that they care about you. And then you find out that the other 10, 15, 20% are complete and total lies. There's several things you can do. Now, it's going to sound weird, but you just do it this way. Ask them or see when the last time they talked about the rebuilding of the Third Temple. That's a big deal. This is in Israel. Find out when they're going to talk about the Temple Mount and the rebuilding of the Third Temple and bringing in the Antichrist, if they talk about that at all. That's number one. Number two, do they support what's going on in Gaza? Do they talk about the genocide that's going on with Gaza? Are they telling you the truth about all the Palestinians that are being slaughtered in Gaza? Ask about that. And also look at it this way. Are they bipartisan? Okay, do they support one either the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, or do they go down the middle and do they both basically slam both parties for basically being government disinformation agents, and they talk about the three-ring circus that is the federal government and politics? If they're not being neutral like that, if they're not really talking about the issues that we talk about on this show, then you have to ask yourself your question. Are they giving out 70, 80, 90% correct information, but they ignore the rest of it? Always remember that. That's why we're so, so careful as far as bringing guests onto this talk show, because I've had it before. We do half a show. I've got to get rid of a guest, and I flush the entire show, and you guys never see it. And then I find out there was somebody else who has another talk show who basically has gotten 10 million views over and over and over and over again, never gets banned on anything they say, who I then later find out is a disinformation agent. We had a medical doctor come on here one time, and she did a good show. And then one day I talked to her personally, and she said some things that were pretty wild, that were complete and total lies. And I told her, now she's lost her medical license and everything else. And the crazy part about it is that the woman was basically a loon. And I deleted her broadcast that she had done with us. She wanted to come back on the show again. It was during COVID. But be very, very careful. So when I find out somebody has, that's why we very rarely ever do guests. That's why I'm very rarely a guest on other talk shows, because I'm going to talk about the issues, the real issues. I'm not going to play any games with anybody. By the way, I've got a lot of women asking me about this. A lot of guys asking me about this too. Botox. Botox nearly killed me. Texas woman who's 36 years old reveals now she had regular injections. They've left her partially paralyzed and choking on spit. Mom of three people have been receiving Botox for 5 years for migraines. Okay. She said it spread to the muscles of my neck and now created many issues. Have you had a bad Botox reaction? And they tell you the email that you go to on here. She said she almost died from the infection. And I've seen it eat the skin. I've seen it eat muscle tissue. This is botulism toxin they're injecting in you. This is one of the most deadly pathogens, deadliest substances on earth they're injecting you. It paralyzes your muscles. It's so deadly. And that those muscles begin to atrophy, and you start to lose those muscles in those areas, and plus it can get into the deeper tissues and start causing massive infection and start to rot the tissue. Ladies, the most important thing you can do as far as skin is vitamin C, period. It really is, you know. Or you can do microneedling. There's a lady over in Lakeland that does microneedling. Her name is Carrie. She does a great job. And that's when they come in with a little tiny, it looks like a ballpoint pen, has tiny little needles in it, pokes little holes. You don't feel it really. It's kind of painless. And what it does, it promotes collagen growth. I would do all of that before I went in and did, you know, Botox. Why would you? I know one other lady, and she's a sales rep for a nutrition company, actually. And her face is expressionless. And also knows who she is. She can't even smile. She has not one line on her face, and she's had cancer 3 or 4 different times. I kid you not. Now, here's a lady promoting health through supplementation, but then she injects herself with Botox. And she's had, like I said, multiple bouts with cancer. And I'm not trying to, you know, make fun of her or anything else, but the reality is I asked her one time, why do you inject yourself with botulism toxin if you have had cancer already? Why are you doing that to your immune system? And her response was a blank stare, which is pretty easy to do when your whole face is blank with Botox. But the sad part about it is that think through this for a second. Is it really worth that? Use vitamin C. Take 5 or 6,000 milligrams of vitamin C every day. Take a good protein supplement. We've got the Grays Lake gelatin at the office. You can put that in your protein. It's a great collagen supplement. Yeah, it's probably the best on the market. I use it every day in my shakes.
So do I. Bump your protein intake up on your shakes, and it's really good for the joints too.
Well, because remember, collagen and vitamin C go together.
Yes.
Vitamin C is the glue that holds collagen together. Yes. Without vitamin C and collagen together, you can't maintain healthy skin.
Well, and that's why I've told so many people, especially a lot of guys I know, heavy bodybuilders and guys that have done powerlifting over the years, they've had joint issues or sports athletes, that collagen stacked with a joint rebuilding formula.
Oh, boy.
That's a really important stack, especially as you start getting older, because the collagen works synergistically, and vitamin C as well, because there's vitamin C in the joint rebuilding. But those two work synergistically because you've got some of the extracts in the joint rebuilding that basically work with the collagen. That's a really good stack.
That joint rebuilding formula that we have is probably one of the best on the market. It's phenomenal.
It's strong.
And it's a great product. And so I recommend that to everybody who's got issues with joints. But like I say, you need to combine it with collagen.
Yes.
And you combine it with vitamin C. All of that stuff needs to be done together along with oils. The omega-3 fats are so
important.
And the
collagen that we run, too, is bovine. Always remember that.
Yeah, don't do
pork.
Don't do swine collagen. It's nasty. No. Nasty, nasty. And if they don't disclose what's on the label, what kind of collagen is and where it comes from, it's pork.
Yeah. If it's bovine, they let you know it's bovine because they're proud of it being from
cows. Because they do. They grind it up. The body parts they don't use and make collagen out of it in the process. It's kind of nasty how they do it, but it still works.
It works good, though.
But it does. But the thing about it is that Botox – that's a big no. I would not use Botox whatsoever, ever, ever, ever. Well, you don't understand. I've got furrows on my forehead. Do microneedling. Okay, just do microneedling. There's little patches you can put on there at night, too, that are basically passive. All kinds of things. But don't be doing collagen, please. It really isn't worth it. If you have to, go to a plastic surgeon and get a forehead lift. I've never done that, but I know people have done that. And that works pretty well, too. I would take that anytime. I'm not recommending plastic surgery. Okay, I'm not saying that. Okay, but what I'm saying is, if it was either or, injecting a botulism toxin into your body or getting a forehead lift, I'd go with the forehead lift, quite frankly. But make sure you get a good surgeon who knows what he's doing, or that may look kind of strange.
Absolutely.
What do you think?
Also, too, there's another article, and I don't know if this is coming out as fear porn or if they're trying to set something up. This is kind of a heads up to everybody. Bloomberg put this out, and then Yahoo started covering it. They said the U.S. intelligence now is warning of cyber attacks against water treatment systems throughout the country. Now, what they're doing is they're trying to blame Iran and Russia and China. They're saying that these hackers may be going in and basically cutting down these water filtration plants, and it's going to cut water in these major cities. There's not going to be any potable water, no drinking water available. Now, again, is this something they're trying to set up? Is they're trying to make people scared of this? Or is this simply more fear porn? All I know is this. It's really important to make sure you have backup water treatment systems, whether it be the filters, whether it be distillation systems like we have. I always recommend keeping something like that, because I use the water distill at the house, and I add the AquaTrace mineral back to it. But that's the best treatment. And also, too, having some backup stored water. Have some gallon jugs that you treated that can store for a while. Always have that with your stored food. Just my opinion on that, because at the end of the day, you can only go about 3 days without water. It's really, really important to stay stocked up on that. So if you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us, Health Masters. Be sure to check out the Testo Plus formula. I want everybody to give me some feedback on this. This new formula is really, really strong. You can go and read the ingredient list on it. I don't have time to go over on the show right here, but this is something that really, really works great for increasing testosterone levels in males and females. And so, again, be sure to check it out at healthmasters.com if you guys need anything. Also, too, the other kit on the sale right now that I put on the front webpage, the Ultimate Immune Booster Stack. That's a really important one. I talked about measles the other day and some of the key ingredients that are really good for helping the immune system out. And that's the vitamin C, D3, and the zinc. That's one of our most effective stacks that we have that I always recommend for people as far as boosting the immune system. Good.
Guys, thanks for listening. We love you guys. I get to pray for you all the time. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. For he is the author and he is the finisher and he's the perfecter of the faith. And always pay attention to what you do and what you put in your body. Right now, a new study just came out. Says global fertility rates are continuing to plummet. Major study warns. This is what happens. You inject 5 billion people with a shot that affects the testicles and the ovaries.
Yeah.
Be very careful with what you put in your body all of the time. Make sure you continue to read the Bible, because that's really important to put in there, too. I love you guys. I appreciate you so much.
Have a good one.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.